I want to speak to you this morning, if God will help me for a little while, about Christ, our living shepherd. This is the psalm of Christ, who is the great shepherd, one who lives for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lives for them just as he died for them, as we talked about last Sunday. This comforting psalm is sadly heard most often at funerals or burials. I've not been to too many funerals, too many burials where somebody didn't read this psalm. And David probably wrote this trilogy of songs during one of the most troublesome periods of his life. Not as a daydreaming shepherd boy, but as a heartbroken father. During the rebellion of Absalom, it's talked about in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 19 if you want to read it. But in this song, David tells of the difficulties he has experienced on his pilgrimage walk of faith. Its message is for mature believers who have been through life's battles. Its message is for people who have been wearied from life's burdens. I pray that God will help me to lead you to rejoice with me in Jesus Christ, our living shepherd. In the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer of Scripture wrote these words, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to talk to you this morning, if God will help me, as I said, about Christ, our living shepherd. First of all, let me talk to you just a minute about the role of the shepherd in the biblical record. If you're going to read this book, you're going to read about shepherds. This book's full of shepherds. Jesus told lots of stories about shepherds. Most of the great men of the Bible were men who were shepherds. There was Abel, the first martyr of faith, and he was a shepherd. There's Moses, who spent 40 years shepherding Laban's flock. There was David, Israel's greatest king, and Israel's greatest poet and singer, who when he was a child served his father as a shepherd of his father's sheep. But most importantly, God. God portrays himself frequently in the Bible as the shepherd of his people. Listen to these verses of Scripture. Genesis 49:24 says this, "By his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd." And he began to teach them many things. The promised Messiah was seen as a shepherd. Psalm 22 speaks of a cruel, violent animal. But Psalm 23 speaks of weak, timid sheep in the Master's fold. He speaks of these sheep, first of all, to show the shepherd's great love for his lowly flesh. You know, sheep are delicate. They're tender. They're fragile. He speaks of them to show how tenderly God deals with his beloved sheep. You know, sheep are pretty much defenseless. You think about every other animal you can think of, they've got some defense. If nothing else, they can outrun whatever's after them. But sheep can't do that. Sheep don't have a lot of defensive weapons. Some of the rams have some horns, and they can fight for a little while, but they run out of breath pretty fast. Sheep are defenseless. They're wandering creatures that need constant care from the shepherd. You can't drive them. You have to lead them. Shepherds know their sheep by name, and they call them effectively. Hold your finger there. You want to turn back with me to John chapter 10. We looked at John 10 a lot last week. John chapter 10. Let's read the first five verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. They follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will not they follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Sheep were kept for their productivity and for their fruit. They gave wool that the Bedouins used to make garments with. They produced lambs every year. They produced milk. They didn't usually eat sheep. They were going to eat, they ate goats. They didn't eat sheep very often. Sheep were assured by their shepherd's care and the supply of every need. No matter the circumstances. Whatever it took, the sheep got what was necessary from the shepherd, and they didn't have to ask for it. And neither do we. Secondly, let's think about the sheep in his pasture. Here in these first three verses, we find conversation here. We find dialogue about the shepherd and his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, God is the covenant God of Israel. I don't have the time. I'm just going to mention a few of them this morning. But God is the God of the compound names of the Old Testament. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who gives peace. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And he's Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies his people. This word is a participle, literally meaning is shepherding me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is shepherding me. I wonder if you and I think about that as much as we ought to. I wonder if we think about that every day. I don't know about you, but you're probably not much different than me. I wake up in the morning, the sun's shining, I say, it's going to be a good day today. I wake up and I look out the window and it's pouring down, raining, and it's dark and thundering. I said, oh, it's not going to be such a good day today. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what the weather, and no matter what the conditions of my life, no matter what the circumstances of my existence, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. You know, Eastern shepherds were totally committed to every need of their sheep. That was their whole life. Their whole life was built around providing food and water and shelter and medicine and just loving those sheep. In good times or bad times, the shepherd was responsible for and accountable for the sheep under his charge. Well, they were his or not. Jesus called believers my sheep. My sheep. He said we're his sheep. His sheep. He called us this because the Father gave them to him and because he would die for them. In John 17:12, it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The emphasis is on the abundant supply of the sheep's every need by the adequacy of the shepherd. They need food, he'll provide food. They need water, he'll provide water. They need rest, he provides rest. They need guidance, he provides guidance. They need direction, he provides direction. They need love, he gives them love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot. Now the sheep of this shepherd have everything they need. And they lack absolutely no necessity, whether it's temporal or spiritual. I have no doubt that some of you are looking at me this morning and you're thinking, he don't know about me. He don't know that I need this or that or the other. I tell you, my friends, if you needed it, God would get it for you. If you needed it, God would provide it for you. If you need it, God would open a door and hand it to you. He would. He would. They lack no necessity, neither temporal nor spiritual. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord said, seek the kingdom. And I'll give you everything else you need. In Philippians 4:19, Paul wrote to that church, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, sheep won't lie down and rest if they're hungry or thirsty. That's strange, you know. Most people, if they want something, they can't get it, they lay down and go into a funk. You know, they go into a pouting session. But the Bible teaches us that sheep won't lie down and rest if they're hungry. And they won't lie down and rest if they're thirsty. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears. This word in verse 2, where it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That word carries the commendation of leading gently. Leading gently. You know, you can't railroad sheep. You can't drive them. You can't run them. You can't herd them. All you can do is lead them. Some of you all who are parents know how difficult it is to lead children sometimes. Sometimes we lead and they don't listen. Sometimes we lead and it doesn't seem like they're going to follow. But my friends, the Bible teaches us that when God leads us, if you think you're following God, and you're getting farther away from Him, it might be that you're not following Him. Because it means that He leads us. He leads us. Sheep hear the shepherd's voice and they respond to Him. It says in John chapter 10, verse 3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." John chapter 10, verse 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And finally, in John chapter 10, verse 27, our Lord said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep. Listen to that. Listen to what it says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, if a sheep strays, what happens when a sheep strays? God just leave them out there? The Bible teaches us that if a sheep strays, that the shepherd will leave the flock and search that sheep out and bring it back. Listen to these scriptures. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." And then in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 12, he said, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our Lord said, when one of my sheep strays, I'm going to go find them. I'm going to go find them. Don't care where they are. Don't care what they've done. Don't care what they're doing. I'm going to find them. I'm going to find them. And verse 3, he says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." This word "path" here is an interesting word. It literally means ruts. It means worn out places. You know, when a sheep get off onto a stray path, they sometimes end up in trouble. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. The writer of Hebrews said this, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." My friends, God cares for His sheep because He loves them all the way to the glory of His name. He loves them that much. The shepherd cares for his sheep because he loves them and he desires to manifest his integrity and his faithfulness to them. Look with me at verse 4. Here we find the shepherd in the valley. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Note that the personal pronoun here changes. It changes from he to I. David wrote this psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I don't know when death's coming your way. It might be when you're 70 or 80. I think about Brother Elbert. He's 91 years old. Might be soon for him. And the truth of the matter is, he might outlive all of us. You know. He might outlive all of us. The smallest child here this morning is only here by the grace of God. And the most healthy adult who's here is only here by the grace of God. This shepherd is beside the sheep in this dark valley of death here in verse 4. A valley that includes all darkness and all uncertainty, including death. A few years ago, I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it. If God has never let you deal with facing death, I hope He lets you do it soon. Because in facing death, you will understand why it's important. In facing death, you'll understand the reality and the validity of your faith. In facing death, you'll understand whether you trust in Christ or you trust in yourself. Sheep are easily frightened by uncertainty and newness. I remember as a small child, my grandfather raised sheep, and I remember going with him to the barn to take care of the sheep, and sometimes we'd bring the lambs back to the house and sit down behind the warm morning stove and feed them with a bottle, and I remember how nervous they were and how frightened they were, and the mother ewe, she was frightened to have the lamb taken away from her even for a day or two because of the uncertainty. What's going to happen? What's he going to do with my lamb? What's he going to do with my sheep? The newness of it frightened them. But he said, "For thou art with me. Thou art with me." His presence is a calming influence on our soul in every trial. His rod was a heavy club that he used to sting a kill or an attacking enemy of his beloved sheep. The staff that he mentions here was that shepherd's crook, that big old long staff with that big hook on the top of it, that he used to count them. And when he wanted to catch them, he caught them with that staff. His prepared presence gave the flock peace in any kind of an emergency. He's always Emmanuel. He's always God to us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You ever thought about that? God with us. Jesus is no hireling who flees at the first sighting of danger. He's not that fellow who's hired by the hour or by the day or by the week and says, "Uh-oh, here come the lions, here come the bears. I didn't sign up for this. I want nothing to do with it." And he heads across the hill and leaves the sheep to be dealt with by the animals of nature. He's the true shepherd. The true shepherd who will necessarily lay down his life for these feeble, weak, exhausted sheep that God loves so much. Hold your finger there and turn back to John chapter 10 again. John chapter 10. And I want you to begin reading with me in verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scatters the sheep, and the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and he careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." God's sheep have. You have today. And you always will have. And you'll always enjoy a peace with God as you trust Him. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul speaks again and says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Walking through life with my shepherd, it resolves many and varied experiences. Some of these things we deal with in life are trying. They bring us to the point of frustration and fear. I know some of you. I know some of the things you've dealt with. I know some of the things that you have to handle every day. And I know how often they frighten you. I know how often they distress and trouble you. But my friends, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. But not one trial, I want you to listen to me now, not one trial you ever face is going to surprise your shepherd. You wake up in the morning, sun shining, sky's bright, looks like a wonderful day. But the day isn't over yet. But when that day turns dark, whether because a storm rolls in or because some storm in life crosses your path, I tell you this, the Lord who is your shepherd will still be your shepherd. He'll still be your shepherd. The closer we walk with Him, the more peace He gives us. I want you to listen to these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Listen to what He says in Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And then listen to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now look with me at verse 5. Here we have the shepherd in the fold. We have our certainty. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This table might just be more than a piece of furniture. To the shepherd, it might be a plateau, or it might be a tableland. Oftentimes the shepherds, when they were out in the wilderness, would find a flat place. And they would park the flock there on their table for a period of rest or for a period of feeding. The 78th Psalm, the psalmist said, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Our God can. Our God can. The daily objective was to return the sheep to the fold, where they could rest their weary legs for the night without any fear. He'd drive them all day. He'd feed them. He'd water them. He'd protect them. He'd guard them. He'd keep them. And when night came, he'd head them back to the fold. And he'd put them in there, and as they went through the gate, he'd lead them there to the gate. They'd go through one at a time. And as they went through, he'd examine them. And every once in a while he'd catch one with his hook. And he'd take a closer look to see if there was a bug bite or a snake bite or something else. And he'd put them in the fold. And when they were all in the fold and they'd all been fed and they'd all laid down and rest, you know what the shepherd would do? I think he'd go home, watch TV. I think he'd go home, I don't know what, listen to radio, do something. Know what the shepherd would do? He would lay down. He would lay his body across the gate of that fold to keep those sheep from getting out. They would often feed them before they put them in there so they could be filled before they lay down to rest and relax. But as they slept, they would be shrouded by a protective will. That shepherd was there. If he got to sleep all night, that was good. If he didn't, it was necessary. The shepherd placed his body as at the gate of the fold as their guardian. The thieves and attackers who came during the darkness would be repulsed by the faithful shepherd's presence. Let me read you two verses from the Gospel of John again. I didn't really realize I had this many verses. I'd have had you just bring two Bibles. You could have kept one open. And in John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the sheep. If you're going to get to the sheep, you've got to go through me. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, my friends, God does not always remove all the dangers from our lives. But His presence prevents the paralysis of fear. God gives us grace, and He gives us strength. That when troubles come into our lives, when distress crosses our doorways, He's always there. He's always there. He's always there. He made His sheep to be victorious in the presence of danger. Hold your finger there and turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I want you to read this with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God examines His sheep nightly. He treats their wounds and their sickness as caused by their contact with this world. He anoints their heads to drive away aggravating pests and to heal the wounds in their outer flesh. And such sheep, guarded by their shepherd, sleep without fear. 127th Psalm, the second verse says, It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sheep. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, The writer says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Isn't it wonderful to sleep at night with Jesus Christ guarding your shepherd? And then finally in verse 6 here, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd gave thanks to God for every night that he had at the gate. You know what most people would say? Lord, I'm glad I don't have to lay out there with them sheep tonight. But the shepherd said, Lord, I'm glad. I'm glad I could be out here with these sheep. David, as an old man, looks back over his life. He looks back over his battles with Goliath and his struggles with Saul. And he looks back over the victories of his early days as the king of Israel. And now he looks at the conflict with Absalom and with all the trouble he's having. And he hopes for repentance. His sins and his failures were followed with goodness, however, and with mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely also, sometimes in the Bible, means the word only. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As David looked forward, he knew he would be free in heaven forever. He looked at this world and all its troubles. He looked at his conflicts with Absalom, his conflicts with men in his inner councils who had betrayed him and joined up with Absalom, and he thought, just a day. Just a day. There is no reference to David's palace or to David's temple in this verse. David didn't live outside of either one of them. He never lived anywhere except in a palace or a temple after he was a king. There's no place in this earth where men may be contented forever. Yeah, I think people ought to think about that. You're never happy anywhere in this world except where you are right now. You can't be happy where you are right now. You can't be happy. Jesus moved David to use this expression to speak out, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this world is full of disturbances. If your world isn't full of disturbances, then please don't tell me, because I think it is. And perplexities. But one of these days, we'll look down from heaven, and the only thing we'll see is goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Under the old covenant, in the Old Testament, sheep died to protect the shepherd. But now in the New Testament, we find the shepherd dying to protect and preserve his sheep. David lived in the Old Testament, but he also knew about the New Testament. And he trusted Christ to preserve him and protect him throughout all his days. My friends, there's coming a day. And it might be coming soon for some of you. It might be coming soon for me, as a matter of fact. We shall meet our good shepherd in heaven, a good shepherd who will make us to assuredly be like him forever. John wrote this in Revelation 7:12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. If we're going to say that forever, why can't we say it now? Why can't we say it now? My friends, we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that good shepherd intercedes for us forever. Every day. I'm no different than you. I'm not. My problems and my troubles disturb me every day just like your troubles and problems disturb you. And every day I find myself saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because He lives for us, we are sure to find many friends. People in this building this morning, you're my friends. I might not have ever met you before, but I still consider you my friends. Especially I know you're my friend if you've come here as one of His sheep. You've come here as one of His. And you, with me, have said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. All the greatest design of the divine Creator is to carry His elect through this world to heaven. Because we're settled, neither time nor eternity can upset our plans or our passion. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely. That's such a precious word. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen.